You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13. This is the Michael K. Show podcast.
I'm joyful and fun.
Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2.
That's cool, man!
On 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
I'll tell you what, man, you're listening to the Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN. I love this guy, man.
And a good afternoon, everybody. This is indeed the Michael K. Show. We thank you for joining us on a Friday. Yeah, it's a Friday, June 18th, 2021. Michael K., Don LaGreca, Peter Rosenberg. We're apart, but we're together for the next 4.5 hours, the other 19 and a half, and plus 48 over the weekend. That's your responsibility. Hope you're doing well. Hope you're happy. Hope you're looking forward to everything you had planned during the weekend. It's a gorgeous day in New York City. Hope it's gorgeous where you are as well. Donald, Peter, how you doing?
Fantastic. How are you, sir?
I'm super.
Happy pre-Father's Day.
Oh, you too. You too. And, you know, for the future for Peter. We've got exciting news, everybody. Now, you know that we're giving away $250 in this hour, and I mean very early in this hour. I mean like really early in this hour. You know what I mean?
Really early.
But I just got word, we all just got word, that the suits are doing their job. On this show, throughout this show, we are giving away 3 pairs of tickets to a game that no one ever thought was going to be played. Game 7, Nets and the Bucks, Barclays Center, tomorrow night on this show. Now, how about that? How about that?
Right, it's a Game 7. Honestly, really, no matter how you feel about whatever sport it is, it's a Game 7. It's the best 2 words in sports. Game 7.
If it would be Game 7 between Charlie Brown and Lucy, it's still Game 7. But there's the Nets and the Bucks. The winner of that game goes on to the Eastern Conference Finals.
Where there could be a Game 7 between Atlanta and Philadelphia too, right? At least Andrew's hoping there's going to be.
Well, we don't have tickets for that, though.
No, but I'm saying is that there is a lot riding on this game. A lot. This is not your typical second round, somebody getting bounced. I mean, both of these teams legitimately feel like the winner of this game could win it all. And the loser, it has a second round exit. Think about that.
A second round exit for a team that each team was expected to go to the NBA Finals. So we're giving away those tickets. I thought Mike Vaccaro really set it up beautifully. This is the biggest game in Brooklyn in 65 years.
Wow.
The last time there was a Game 7 in Brooklyn was 1956, Yankees-Dodgers. And it didn't go well for the Brooklyn team that day. They lost 9-0 as the Yankees jumped on Don Newcomb early, built, took the title back from the Brooklyn Dodgers, and then the Dodgers decided to leave after 1957. So the borough of Brooklyn has been left naked, but now big-time sports, the world will be watching the Nets and the Bucks. So we're excited about that. 3 pairs of tickets to give away. Now, 98.7 ESPN is also giving away $1,000 a day over the next week. We're really hooking you up. Right. Later in the 2 p.m. hour and again in the 5 p.m. hour, be listening for the cue to call and be ready to call in at 888-987-ESPN to claim $250 cash. Like yesterday's winners, Carmelin Linaldi from Toms River and Danny Roldan from Bayside, New York. Now, you can also cash in by listening to DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg in the 6 and the 7 a.m. hours. So mark that down. It's all from your home for the hookup, 98.7 ESPN. All right, so there's a lot to talk about. We'll start with the Nets and the Bucks Game 6. The thing that we feared the most actually took place. Game 5 took too much out of the Nets. Just look at Jeff Green. Jeff Green was a huge factor that was overshadowed by the 48 minutes that Durant played in Game 5. But Jeff Green was a big reason they won. Yesterday, non-factor. He had nothing. He had no legs. That's one. Number two, Kevin Durant. It's hard to be otherworldly every game, and he was not that yesterday. He was actually outplayed by Middleton, and he was outplayed by Antetokounmpo. Now, the one guy I thought who got better, Don and Peter, I don't know if you agree, was Harden. Had a shot.
Yep.
Had some legs under him. Scored in the first half. Was pretty sharp from 3 points. Still didn't have much maneuverability. You could see he didn't have an explosion, so he's playing somewhat under control so he doesn't completely tear the hamstring. But he was a factor. So I think that the enormity of Game 5, the energy expended in Game 5, affected them in Game 6, also wasn't a must-win for the Nets. It was a literal must-win for the Bucks, which sets up a must-win for both. So can Durant return to what he was in Game 7 in Brooklyn? Should you expect him to? Are those games that he had in Game 5 once in a blue moon games? Or can you expect a guy to step up like that every single time it's a big moment? Because I'll tell you what, watching and seeing how the Nets are without Kyrie Irving, I think he's going to have that sort of game, guys.
Yeah, when I'm watching that game, and again, I'm bouncing all over the place, right? I mean, last night was just sports nirvana.
A sports orgy.
I mean, you got so much. I'm watching.
Bacchanal.
And really, and all the games were compelling, so it wasn't like, all right, this game's a blowout. I don't have to watch it. I mean, you know, the Yankees came down to the wire. Mets came down to the wire. Same thing with the Islanders and the Lightning. But from what I was able to gather is that they tried to win that game. Right? There wasn't like, oh, we're going to just play conservative because we know we have a game seven. And you can look at the final score, and it looks like a blowout. But I didn't feel they really called off the dogs until they were down 20 with about 4.5 to go. That's when it all kind of fell apart.
I agree.
But otherwise, they were right there. So now we'll see how much that affected them. But they played with them, and then it kind of fell apart late, right, Michael? But up to that point, and they just went on that. I forget what the run was, but I think it was actually up 20 with 4.5 to go. And then that's when I was officially done. But up to that run, Peter, this was a game that still was in doubt. So they played to win it.
To me, that was the worst-case scenario. They played a game that they were in. But let me put it this way. I had several things going on last night, so I was sort of – I always had it on, but I was taking calls and doing different things. Every time I checked in, at no point were the Nets in control, right? They were down the entire game. So it's not a game that it looked like they would win, but they stayed close enough in striking distance to not call off the rest. 40 minutes for Durant, 40 minutes for Harden, and a loss. I would say in some ways that was the worst-case scenario for how it would have played out. Hovering just enough so they can't quite call it off early, but not so much that you ever thought they were going to win.
I think the run you're talking about is a 14-0 run. And the interesting thing about the Bucks yesterday, every time they pulled ahead, the Nets had a run. And they got to within 4 or 5, and then the Bucks answered.
Right. Every time.
Every time the Nets had a run to get back in it, the Bucks answered right back. And from everything I've read and just, you know, hearing it from the TV, the crowd played a role. I don't know if it intimidated the Nets, but it certainly lifted the Bucks. That was a loud, loud crowd.
They have not lost at home the entire playoffs, right? Remember, this is a team that looked down and out after, you know, game two. Now, granted, the injury sucked them back in, but they had that great 3-point win in game three, and then even the series. So that's why I didn't expect the Nets to win. This game pretty much went the way I thought it would go. You know, the only question is how much did it take out of them? And I disagree, Peter, just to the standpoint. I guess the worst-case scenario would be if you hung right to the end.
That's true.
Because at least the 4.5 minutes. Because now maybe those 40 minutes become like 45 minutes if you end up having to play it out. So they did get a little bit of blow at the end of the game. But I love the way they hung. Listen, I was suggesting it only because you had Reggie Miller saying that they shouldn't even dress Harden and Durant, which I thought was ridiculous. But I was kind of leaning towards – hey, is it worth it in a game you're probably not going to win anyway because the Bucks have been so good at home? But watching it, I think if you're a Net fan, you're proud of the effort. It was a tough spot, but you gave it your all, and you hope it just doesn't come at the expense of maybe losing a little bit of Harden and Durant for a Game 7, which is, again, a short turnaround, right? Flight from Milwaukee to Brooklyn, playing on Saturday. So it sets up nice for Milwaukee if they've got the heart to go into Brooklyn in a hostile environment and get a game. It's, I don't know what the percentages are, guys, but we're probably close to like 90% of the time the home team wins Game 7 in the playoffs, right? It might have changed it fairly recently, but it's such an advantage to be home, probably more than any other sport that plays this format of winning a Game 7 on the road. Very, very difficult to do.
Both of these teams have not lost at home yet in the playoffs, so something's got to give or the Nets go on to the Eastern Conference Finals. Also, I want to apologize because I kind of worded something in a clunky manner, and some guy on Twitter actually corrected me. The Nets have had Game 7s in Brooklyn. In 2013, they lost to the Bulls in the first round. 2014, they beat the Raptors in the first round. So what I was trying to articulate was it's the biggest Game 7
right.
since 1956. Oh. So thank you, some guy. I appreciate it. I want to clarify it. It's not the first Game 7, but it's the biggest. And those Net teams, although they were decent, they weren't this team. This team is built to win a championship. Now, the question that hangs out there, will we see a Willis Reed moment from Kyrie? I don't think we will. I don't think we will, not because he's not brave, not because he can't take pain. I just don't think you could play on that. I mean, if you take a replay and look at it when he hurt his ankle, it almost like it looked like it snapped in half. It didn't just bend. It was like a right angle to the floor. So his foot was on the side and right. his leg stood straight up. That's a bad sprain. I don't think you're going to see him playing Game 7.
I think he's done. Because let's face it, if he was even at 10%, it'd be so worth it to have him be in uniform and come out on Saturday. That building would be up for grabs. But I don't think he can even do that.
Now, listen, you don't know with those kinds of sprains. Like, when someone comes down like that, it can look like they broke their leg and it's not that serious. But in this case, it's obviously – it's pretty serious. We're here
those kind of injuries, Peter, from what I've heard, it's almost better to break your ankle than what that was. Because everything gets stretched. It's hard to get it back to normal in a hurry. And I've heard people say that broken ankles sometimes heal quicker than that kind of injury. Let's see. Kyrie's obviously an extraordinary athlete. And if he could come back, I'm sure he would come back. It'd be interesting. If he can walk, I like what Don's saying. If he just comes out on the court for the opening tip, the place would be up for grabs because, we all talk about the Willis Reed game. Willis Reed hit two shots at the beginning, and that's it. He was done. Then it's really the Walt Frazier game, but it's always remembered for Willis Reed when no one expected him. He got shot up in the locker room and limped out through the tunnel. Place went nuts. Place was up for grabs. He hits the two shots, and, Walt Frazier's told me stories that when Willis Reed limped out, the entire Laker team was looking. They were watching as he was taking practice shots. The entire Buck team would have their mouths wide open if Kyrie somehow came on the court. But again, we don't know if he can even walk. Remember how difficult it was for him to walk off the court after the injury?
Well, that's what I mean. You'd have to be where you're able to walk and do something. And I think if he could, he would do it. But I don't think he can.
Now, the biggest concern, other than the injuries, for me, for the Nets, is that Antetokounmpo seems like he's found his groove on how to play. Because he played downhill yesterday. He had three-point shots, and he just refused. He would kick it out to Middleton, who was great last night. And he did everything in the paint. Do the Nets have anybody to keep him out of the paint? I mean, might they dust off DeAndre Jordan and let him give it a try? Because this is the Giannis Antetokounmpo that's an MVP. He's almost unstoppable when he's going downhill. And the first couple of games when they got blown out in Brooklyn, you know what? He's taking three-point shots that just didn't make sense. It kind of derailed the whole offense. But yesterday, took the ball, drove the lane. No one could stop him. And didn't even seem as if he was shy about taking free throws. I think he was 6-for-10. From three-point land. So they've got to come up with some way to do that. And, the Nets could also fall back on this, everybody. Steve Nash said after the game, it was very clear we didn't have our fastball. Now, he didn't use that trite phrase that always angers me, you know, they wanted it more than we did. No, they were exhausted, the Nets. They gave it all in Game 5, and it was a quick turnaround. That's what happened. Not that they didn't want it. The bodies were not able to produce what the mind was willing to do. And you could see it with Durant. Again, the only one who looked better was Harden. And I'm wondering, where's Joe Harris? Guy led the NBA in three-point shooting. Where's Joe Harris? He's a big part of what they do. He doesn't create his own shot. So maybe the limitations of Harden and obviously the absence of Irving have cost him open looks. But I've watched games where he can't even hit open looks because he could have won Game 3 for them. This series would be over now if he had hit some of the shots in Game 3. This is not the Joe Harris that got them there. Just well, not.
And he's just got to also shoot the ball more. I mean, if you look at last night's box score, Michael, Kevin Durant took 30 shots. Not another player on the team took more than 9.
Yeah, he had 4 shots, Joe Harris, yesterday. At 9 points, he's averaging 9.5 points a game and shooting 32.5 from the 3-point stripe. That's not good enough. That's not what he's there for. He is a master at making defenses pay for doubling up Durant and Harden and Irving. But maybe there's not as many doubles now. Could be it. It's going to be fascinating tomorrow night.
It's a real battle of wills. Assuming James Harden's at roughly the same place he's been in, and Kyrie doesn't play, so we're getting the same matchup we've gotten the last two games. Doesn't it just come down to an utter battle between Durant and Giannis?
Yeah, pretty much.
It's basically two MVPs just battling heads up. And thankfully for the Nets, they'll have a home court advantage. And we saw in Game 5 that evidently that Brooklyn crowd is actually capable of getting loud.
Well, they're going to have to really go a long way to beat what Milwaukee did yesterday. I mean, those Wisconsins were very, very loud. So you'll have the post-game coverage of Game 7 for the Bucks and the Nets. It'll be on Yes tomorrow after the 8:30 start. And it's going to be interesting. Who has more pressure? I think it's the Nets. You know, the Bucks obviously, you've got Antetokounmpo, max contract. You went out and got Drew Holiday. Chris Middleton's making a lot of money. It's time for them to realize what they're built for. But I'm sorry, the Nets are built for one thing, and that's to win a championship in this year or next year. That's it. Now, they do have an excuse. If they don't win, you could say it's the injury to Kyrie. But I still think they're going to be criticized because you wasted 1 year of your franchise where they didn't reach their ultimate destiny. And that's what this team is built for. That's what the Big Three is about. So I think there's a lot of pressure on the Nets, an awful lot. And I think there's a lot of pressure on Kevin Durant. You know, we all lauded him for Game 5 as he should have been. But this is such a what have you done for me world lately. And if he lays an egg in Game 7, Game 5 is going to be forgotten. The heroic performance he had in Game 5 is never going to be celebrated. Don said the other day, if they don't win the series, Game 5 is going to be Andy Chavez's catch. Heroic, superhuman, all of that. They don't win the series, what does it mean?
No, because it's a great effort. Nobody's going to take away the effort. But it's got to come in a win, right?
Now, if he plays great in Game 7 and they lose, I don't know if you could put the hammer on him.
No.
But if he lays an egg in Game 7 and they lose because he misses a shot or just didn't play well, then it's a different story. I think it really does erase Game 5.
Well, I'm just looking at the just the spread.
What is it now?
On my BetMGM app, I've got the Nets -1.
Yeah, that's it.
Wow. Toss up.
So it's and, Michael, it's an interesting question about who, in fact, has more pressure. Because the Nets are down 1.5 players. You could argue the Bucks got handed a dream opportunity. When the window seemed to be closed because they have to deal with the super team, they're getting the super team at less than half strength. You have to beat them.
No, yeah, I'm with Peter.
You don't beat them tonight, you might never beat this team. Listen,
there's always pressure, and certainly the Nets will hear it if they don't win, for sure. Because you've still got a home game in which you're a one-point favorite. It's a toss-up, but still. But the Bucks are handed this gift of you're telling me you had a 3-2 series lead against a team that lost, you know, one of their best players in the league and the other player is on one leg and you couldn't finish them off? When are you going to do it? Because now you look at last year, you know, they got bounced in the second round too. So I think there's a lot more pressure on the Bucks here because the Nets, at least they'll have that built-in excuse. They won 100%. What's the Bucks' excuse?
Yeah, this is the team you built. I mean, they're down who? DiVincenzo? Who else are they missing? They're not missing a lot of people.
Nothing to the extent the Nets are missing.
Of course not.
Well, the door is open for the Bucks, but, I mean, we all realize, though, the Nets are built to win a championship. If they don't win, their season's an ultimate failure.
But
if the Bucks don't win, there's going to be changes. You might not see the muffler salesman on the bench next year.
Listen, nobody wants to make excuses, right? No coach wants to do that, no general manager. But if the question gets asked, if the Nets lose a heartbreaker in Game 7, why didn't you win the championship? The answer is going to be because of the injuries.
Right. True.
If the Bucks don't win the championship, what's your answer? The Nets were better than us?
The undermanned Nets were better than
us. Right. Well, let's say, though, that Net team was better than you. So you probably weren't beating the winner of Atlanta and Philadelphia then. So you weren't winning a championship. Because right now, this Net team is presently constituted. Are they better than Philadelphia? Are they better than Atlanta, Utah, Phoenix, the Clippers? I don't know. I think it's debatable. All three of them healthy. They're the best team, clearly. But then the Bucks just fall in line of a team that could not beat them. But I think the Sixers could.
Now, people are, I guess, betting the Nets because Anthony Greek of Yes said the Bucks opened -1.5. And now the Nets are -1. I find that hard to believe that the Bucks opened as a 1.5-point favorite over the Nets in Brooklyn.
Yeah, they're probably suckering people to bet the game, I guess.
Well, they did, I guess. I think they grabbed the Nets at -1.5. So now the Nets are a 1-point favorite. All right, 98.7 ESPN is giving away $1,000 a day over the next week. So be the first caller right now at 888-987-ESPN to score $250 cash. Again, that's 888-987-3776. Be listening every day through Wednesday in the 6 a.m., 7 a.m., 2 p.m., and 5 p.m. hours for more chances to cash in. And, of course, it's all from your home for the hookup, 98.7 ESPN. And, boy, are we hooking you up today. Three pairs of tickets to Game 5 at the Barclays Center in Brooklyn. That's tomorrow night, but we're giving it away today throughout the show. Stay tuned for that. We'll take your phone calls as we rifle through. Also, Jeff Van Gundy will break this down for us at 3 o'clock. 1-800-919-3776. Give us a buzz right now. We'll talk through it with you right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Well, Summer Fridays with the Michael Kay Show on 98.7 ESPN are brought to you by new Mike's Hard Lemonade Seltzer, 100 calories, 1 gram of sugar, and gluten-free. So you guys probably weren't up at this point, so my book tour continues, and I was on Morning Joe today on MSNBC.
Okay.
And the main guy who interviewed me was Willie Geist, and he grew up in Jersey, so he's a big Yankee fan and, you know, knows what I do, and he was really kind about the book, and they had Mike Barnicle ask a question, and out of the blue, I mean, the whole thing is about the Yankees and the book. Out of the blue, Al Sharpton asked me about racial inequality in sports. I was like bowled over. I didn't know. I mean, he said, well, what do you think about diversity? There's no diversity in sports. What do you think about that? I mean, well, you know, who's not pro-diversity?
Right.
But it just seemed like such a non sequitur out of nowhere to ask that question. And I said, you know how you get diversity in sports? You have to buy teams. So the fact that Derek Jeter bought the Marlins, that's a great first step, because from what I've seen in sports, those that own teams hire people that they're comfortable with and they know, and those people hire the people that coach and manage. So if you really want diversity, buy the teams and you have a chance, like Derek did. But, I mean, just out of nowhere.
Well, you were on MSNBC.
But I wasn't talking about the Democratic National Convention. I was there to plug a book.
Yeah, but he didn't ask you a really political question.
Well, I mean, but it's a polarizing question,
no,
I guess, in a sense.
It shouldn't be. Only for racists.
Well, I'm not that, so
I'm saying only for viewers
me.
Who would be like, why, I don't want to, you know what I'm saying? I mean, I understand you didn't have your answer prepared, so that's kind of, but by the way, you gave the right answer.
Well, I mean, people, I've done interviews the last 3 days, You want to go over the – no, just ask me whatever you want. I have an answer for anything. You're never going to stump me. But I just thought that that just was a non sequitur out of the blue. That's not really the venue, I think, to ask that question. It doesn't make sense to ask that question when you're plugging a book about interviews. So just odd, but I handled it beautifully, I thought.
That's all that matters, right?
That's all that matters, Don. Don, you're almost through the book, right? No, I didn't say blah, blah, blah. You're almost through the book.
I'm up to Adam Sandler. So wow. I just finished Billy Crystal and Lorne Michaels.
And you like Billy, right?
Well, very much.
I got to tell you, for someone who always talks about how dumb he is, Don, you're a very fast reader.
Well, it's an easy book to read because it's so intriguing. It's done very well. It's formatted well.
Can you do me a favor, Don? I'm going to ask you the same favor I'll ask all of our listeners.
I can't read.
He wouldn't do it. If you could leave like a nice review on Amazon, that supposedly helps sales.
I will definitely do that.
Yeah. Can you do that, Peter, or will you not be willing?
No, I'm willing. I didn't read it yet, but I'm willing to jump out the window and say I think I'm going to enjoy it.
Really, what was Miss Hatton doing today, pouring Chips Ahoy cereal? Looked like she was hanging over a terrace.
No, she was in a helicopter.
Oh, what a shot that was.
Yeah. That's what she does.
So she goes into helicopters to eat cereal? Is that how that works?
That's it. Yeah. And she's actually coming out with a book, too. It's called Helicopters. It's called Cereal and Helicopters. She reviews cereal.
So it
does
C-E-R-E-A-L, Cereal Killers in Helicopters.
But no, she takes these helicopter photos, and every once in a while she does like a wacky thing like that that just kind of is like jarring.
Well, even you said, what'd you say, maniac, I think?
I said you're a maniac, yes. Because seeing someone's hands freely outside of a helicopter like that pouring cereal, it's just crazy. Not to mention, Chips Ahoy cereal, how is that even a thing?
Yeah, well, you're essentially pouring milk over a cookie.
Which is delicious. But
have you had it?
To say that that's part of a nutritious meal, I think, is fraudulent.
I mean, there are many, let's be real, there are a handful of cereals that are that. But yeah. I like that Chips Ahoy doesn't even hide it.
Yeah, I think Chips Ahoy is right along line with Fruit Loops. You can't really say it's a health meal.
Fruit Loops, Lucky Charms.
Trix.
Fruity Pebbles, Trix.
Pebbles.
Chocula.
Oh, yeah.
What was the other mini cookie one? There was another one that you were pouring mini cookies into the bowl. It just wasn't called Chips Ahoy.
There's so many. Don's finding this out, I'm sure. There's so many things that are marketed for children that are just, like, so bad for them.
Yeah.
And you're tempted to get, like, I wanted my kids to have Hawaiian punch because they never had Hawaiian punch. And I go, and then you read their ingredients when it's in the house. Well, what are you doing? Why don't you just pour sugar down their throat?
And that's all they ever want.
Oh, yes.
My parents almost I was barely ever allowed to get the good cereal. As time went on, I started convincing them to at least let me get, like Lucky Charms occasionally.
They're magically delicious.
Oh, and I loved Pops, by the way. Big Pops guy.
What Pops?
Kellogg's Pops? No, Corn Pops.
Oh, Corn Pops.
The yellow box.
That doesn't seem like that's that bad for you.
They're not as bad as the other ones, but a delight.
Yeah, I just think anything that comes in a yellow box is not bad.
That's a, you know what? I like living that way. Then you could get Honeycomb, too.
Yes, you can.
Which I've never had in my life.
Oh, you know what? Andrew brings up a great point on the computer. He said if she missed the bowl with any of the Chips Ahoy cereal, someone on the ground could have been killed. Because if you throw a penny off the Empire State Building, it could go right through someone's skull.
It'll ruin everything.
Yeah, but I don't know if that would be the same with a Chips Ahoy cookie.
I don't think it would be a good thing.
A mini piece of cereal you think could kill someone?
I think taking an eye.
No, it's just because this piece of cereal has give.
Right.
A penny doesn't have give.
That's right, Don. So, like, wind is going to catch the cereal to some degree. It's not going to go crashing. A penny has zero. Don, that's a great point. Don not only reads fast, he's a scientist.
Don's very bright. I think he plays the role, but he's smarter than everybody.
I'm just impressed by how fast he reads. I really would like. You know what? I'm going to try to read the book this weekend.
The plane.
Done.
On the plane.
I have almost 4 hours each direction. Or no, 3 hours each way. I got this.
Joni said that you're thinking of Cookie Crisp.
Cookie Crisp, exactly.
That's
Thank
Joni
you, Joni
G.
That's right.
Oreo O's are good, too. Yeah, Tommy P brings that up. Yeah.
I loved O's as a kid. Andrew, what was your delightful cereal that you either wanted and got or wanted and weren't allowed to get?
Definitely Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Oh, really? Okay.
That's too aggressive.
And then the milk afterwards with all the leftover sugar. God. It was like a second treat after the cereal.
Oh, my. It was like ice cream.
Well, that's what made Count Chocula so good, because then it just became chocolate milk.
Wait, so you had Count Chocula before?
Yes, it's delicious.
By the way, what Michael just said, Andrew, words that were only spoken in a Gentile home.
What happened? What did I say?
Having a bowl of Count Chocula. No Jewish parents ever, not one, has ever bought a bowl of Count Chocula.
I don't think I've ever had Count Chocolate. Chocula.
How about Frankenberry? Frankenberry's
no.
Too.
His brother, you know, Don, his brother, Frankenberry?
We had, Cheerios. We had Corn Flakes. And, you know, when we got crazy, we got Fruit Loops.
You know, it was always my favorite, and it's definitely on the healthier side. Hmm. To me, you can't beat a bowl of Raisin Bran.
Oh, I love Raisin Bran.
Yeah, I've never had a raisin in my life, so.
Don, have you done top five cereals yet?
I have not, no.
Feels like it's coming right at you.
I was thinking about it.
All right, now before we go to calls, I have to ask you something, Peter. I asked you to do some homework on something. I want to see if you did. So the guy Sam of Sam and Jim, did you get in touch with him? Did he like me? Did I win him over?
I didn't talk to Sam yet.
Jerk.
I mean, but like, listen, I love you, Michael. You're worried about Sam? He's a wrestling geek like me. Who cares? Sam.
But I want everybody like me. You know that's my flaw.
I understand. I have the same flaw myself.
Yeah.
Right, you don't need anyone to like you, Michael. Look at the bright side. You've done 70 interviews this week. I busted my ass to get about 7. You're doing great. Okay? At the end, truthfully, it doesn't matter if they like you. It only matters that they're willing to have you on the show.
But
who wouldn't like
me.
You once they talk to you?
Yeah, I am.
You're
likeable.
A great guy.
All right, so Andrew wants me to scold our listeners. A gentle scold, he said.
Okay.
He's getting lots of calls from people wanting net tickets.
I will fight you after this show.
So Andrew would like to remind all of you that you have to wait until I announce the contest, and it's a different number than the one you call to talk to us.
Light scold.
Not a heavy scold. Because I don't think it warrants that.
Because
people are excited about going to Game 7.
So the callers actually think, you know, we're giving it away later, but you're on hold now. All right, we'll just give it to you now. No, that's not the way it works.
You know, it is amazing, though, because I listen to Stern on Sirius XM, and people will call in to make a comment, and then they go, do you have anything that you're going to give away? It's rude.
But he does sometimes. At least back
he does sometimes,
he
yeah. So it's worth asking.
Here's the question I have. I'm sorry, it's Friday at 3:40. We're allowed to keep going on this rabbit hole. How do people even get through to Stern? I've never heard him give a number. I never understood the Spikes and Danny's from Long Island of the Stern show who would get through no matter what when I'm like, they don't even give out a number. Anyone?
I don't know.
Nope. Very strange.
Sometimes there are random people, too. So it's
yeah,
not like
I know.
People that have the inside number.
No, I don't think there is an inside number. I think there's some generic number, but I never even heard what it was. I'm like, where do people even find out how to call?
Let's go to Deanne in the Bronx. Deanne.
Hi, guys. That's Deanne from the Bronx. Hi, Michael, Peter, Andrew, the entire team.
Hey there.
Hey, guys. I'm happy that caller called in and said what he said earlier because it's bogus. This could potentially give the Knicks the amazing big three. So, you know, Zion's family had leaked, you know, about him leaving, and the Knicks could be at home with him linking up with R.J. Barrett, who he knows and played with, you know, in Duke. So with the Knicks coming in at the fourth seed in the playoffs, this would potentially give the Knicks and the Nets being the top contenders in the East coming in the next season. You know, so the Knicks are in the conversation because of the changes in the dynamics of the team. With our rookies topping, et cetera, this would, you know, potentially develop them. I don't think it would hurt Randall, but I want to know how y'all feel about it. Would this give us our top three if Zion was to come in? Because, hey, he knows R.J., he knows R.J. Barrett. He played with this man. That's his friend.
Well,
make the Knicks something else.
I think you've got to pursue everything, Deanne. And if it's Zion, and then you try to come to a deal. And if you have to give up a lot, that's the guy they wanted when the draft happened. But I would tell you this: if you're going to trade for Zion, you might have to give up R.J. Barrett.
Well, that would, yeah, that's possible. But I'll tell you this. We already said this, but that caller before was fundamentally flawed because his attitude was the Knicks aren't close, so why bother moving big pieces? To Deanne's point, if you make the right move and get someone, who says you can't be a contender next year with a move that big?
Absolutely.
It's a star-driven league.
It was a silly
take. They grab one huge star, they're in it.
Yeah, silly take. I don't like silly takes. 1-800-919-3776. Kay LaGreca-Rosenberg and you, remember, net tickets, we're giving them away, but don't call the wrong line and don't call till I say.
No, because I've had it.
And 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN. The Michael Kay Show.
The piece of cereal has give.
On 98.7 ESPN.
Oh, the things that Don says. What a delight. We're so lucky to have him.
So true.
We really are. I don't think we appreciate him enough. You feel appreciated enough, Don?
Yeah.
Every 2 weeks, I'm sure you do.
Well, that's where it all starts, right? And that's where it begins and ends.
That's exactly it, my friend. It's time for the Pinstripe Report, brought to you by Truly Hard Seltzer. Do you know that the Yankees just won 3 in a row? And according to stats, this is the first time, this is amazing, in Yankees history, that they swept a road series of 3 or more games despite trailing in the 7th inning or later in each game. Think about that.
You know, I know this is an unpopular opinion.
Uh-oh.
When they say this team's unwatchable. Well, what you're really saying is that they lose too much for you because you're addicted to the winning. That this team may not hit, but they do show a lot of heart, Michael.
Yep.
You know, and I know that's not enough for Yankee fans because all at the end of the day, you got to win the game, right? But you've seen times where even in losses, like what happened over the weekend in Philadelphia, right?
Mm-hmm.
They get the big 3-run home run to tie the game. Now they lost in extra innings, but they show you some heart. They did that against Boston too. You know, but it doesn't matter. But that's why I cringe when I hear, oh, this team's unwatchable. No, what you're really saying is that you enjoy the winning and you don't like to watch losses. But the team does have some fight. They have heart. They may not be good enough, and certainly they are flawed. Certainly, and I'm not going to buy into them sweeping the Blue Jays that everything's okay. We've been down that road before, Michael. You know, we've been fooled a few times by this team. But I do think that they play with some heart and gumption at times, and they may not get the key hit, and they may not win, and they may be poor at running the bases and all that, but they do show some heart, and that's a stat that shows you that. They may not be good enough, but they try, and they come darn close even on the nights they don't win.
And I'll tell you what, I thought yesterday's game was eminently watchable. You got a triple play, the Yankees' second triple play this season. First time in their history they've had 2 triple plays in 1 year, and they still have a lot of games to go. Hmm. You had a game-saving, beautiful catch by Aaron Judge. You had Giancarlo Stanton hit a bullet 2-run home run over the right field wall. You had a pinch-hit single by Chris Gittens, and this is interesting. You know, everybody wants to knock a manager. Well, a manager has control of certain things, and even Aaron Judge said before the game yesterday, blaming Aaron Boone and the coaches for our base-running mistakes is ridiculous. He said, it's us. We're the ones who are making the mistakes, not them. They tell us what to do, but we're the ones making the mistakes. Well, a manager gets to push buttons in terms of pinch hitting. They've pushed the right buttons this year. They're 8-for-26. That's the best in the major leagues. 1 double, 2 home runs, 10 ribbies. They're 2nd in ribbies in the major leagues, but everything else, they're 1st in terms of pinch hitting. So he's pushing the right buttons. He pushed the right buttons yesterday with Gittens. He pushed the right buttons the day before with Sanchez. He pushed the right buttons the day before that with Clint Frazier. All 3 of these games could have been losses, and they ended up being wins. And yeah, they needed them because they have been losing to American League East teams, except for the Orioles. Well, now they just swept the Blue Jays. They moved past them. And, Don, while they're doing that, the Rays are finally losing. So what looked like a really bloated, insurmountable lead, now it's not so much.
Yeah. I thought it was cringeworthy to me, and I've talked about that. I even think I jumped the caller like a couple of weeks ago, or whatever, when they was like, it's unwatchable. Like, come on. I mean, on that Saturday, LeMahieu hits the 3-run home run, tie the game, much, I'm sure, to Andrew's chagrin. But the Phillies win in extra innings. And I look at Twitter, and it's the same, oh, this team's unwatchable, they're awful. Listen, I get it. You're judging this team on wins. It's the same conversation we have all the time. It's win or bust. It's World Series or bust. It doesn't seem to matter to most Yankee fans. There's no enjoying the ride. It's get me there, you know? But when you say they're unwatchable, what you're telling me is that they just don't win enough for you, and you only want to watch the winning because they've been in some exciting – yeah, they've been in some duds. There's a lot of duds in baseball, a lot of boring games.
Well,
I thought specifically on Saturday, Peter – And what they did this weekend, these three games in Buffalo, coming back in the seventh inning, that they do have some heart, they have some try, they just might not be good enough.
But the only reason why what you're saying is not fair is because when they're not playing well, like, you're right, that is what the fans expect. They want the Yankees to win and play well. But they're a team that the style of play is such that often when they lose, it's not like they play a great game and come up short. It's like they're utterly boring. They're not putting balls in play. They're just, you're watching them strike out.
No,
so I think that can be what they mean.
I think Michael said this off the air. But they really haven't been in any blowouts either way.
Right? I said it on the air too, yeah.
Yeah, they don't blow anybody out because their offense isn't good enough to do that. But they don't get blown out either. I mean, their games are interesting. And I get what you're saying, Peter. You know, there's nothing worse than when your team doesn't hit, right? And you strike out a lot and all that. But, you know, when you say your team's unwatchable and yet you got one of the best pitchers in baseball, Judge is having a good year, Sanchez has been better, hey, it's losing. And I'm not telling you to like losing. Losing stinks. But it goes beyond saying that we lose. I can't believe we're losing. I can't believe that we're, you know, at the time fourth place before this series started. It was just, this team is unwatchable. Are they?
I mean, they play a style sometimes of baseball that if you lose, right, it's going to seem boring to you. It just is. And I've said this over and over, and over the last nine games, it's changing, and maybe it's because of the threat of people getting suspended and people stopping with the sticky stuff, or maybe it's just a return to the norm or the mean. But in the last nine games, they've scored almost 6 runs a game. They've hit 17 home runs. They batted .271. Over the first 2 months of the season, if they don't hit home runs, they don't score for the most part. So now they're starting to hit home runs again. Maybe the pitching is coming back down to earth around Major League Baseball. Maybe they're scared, the pitchers, of using sticky stuff and increasing spin rate. And now you're seeing that manifest itself. Yankees have plenty of time to get back into the race, plenty of time to grab a wild card, plenty of time even to catch the Tampa Bay Rays. Now, they put themselves in a hole, and I always do this myself. I'm guilty of it as well. Well, in order for them to win the American League East, you've got to win 95 games. And from this point, if they win 95 games, they'll have to play about a 7-12. It all changes in a week. So what, they've gained like 3 games on the Rays now? So now all those numbers have just shifted. That's the way baseball is. It's a really long season. So the Yankees, who were 9 out 3 days ago, are 6 out now and 5 in the loss column. So what seemed insurmountable is far from insurmountable. Is this a perfect team? No, it's not even close to perfect. And their pitching has come down to earth. But if they're going to slug, they're going to win. If they're going to hit home runs, they're going to win games. And when you don't hit home runs and you're a team that can't create runs – hit and run, steals, things like that, it's going to seem boring. It's just the way it is. It's not boring when they hit home runs and they're playing the same brand of baseball.
Man.
Same. Don's right. You're just bored because they're losing.
And I'll tell you one thing, if you were wanting to be a Yankee fan, I don't know how – it must have been frustrating how they only scored 1 run in that first inning last night. I mean, God, the Blue Jays looked awful.
Oh, Don, I'm glad you brought that up. To me – they can't finish ahead of the Yankees. They're not even close to the team the Yankees are. Their bullpen is abysmal.
Oh, it's bad. Their fielding is bad. There's not a good – I don't know how they're doing it. I guess they're doing it with offense, but
– I don't know how long they'll continue. I mean, they don't play smart baseball. They don't run the bases well, just like the Yankees. I mean, that triple play was just terrible base running. It wasn't like it was an unbelievable – I thought Gary Sanchez made the best part of the triple play – But first of all, Guerrero should have never broken from third. And then the runner at second is going to third, and then he heads back, and then the runner at first, I mean, they're crawling on top of each other. They ran into a triple play. Yeah,
I think this is for the Yankees too. I think there are so few balls in play that these runners, they fall asleep. They forget what to do. Because all it's about is home runs. Because the base running's bad all over, Michael. We both watch a lot of baseball. It's not only happening with the Yankees. The Yankees have done it the most because they've had the most guys gunned down on the base paths. But look around Major League Bay, awful. Guys getting picked off. I think there are so few balls in play, they just forgot how to do it anymore.
Well, that's the Pinstripe Report brought to you by Truly Hard Seltzer. Try Truly Hard Seltzer, 100 calories, 1 gram of sugar, 5% alcohol, and 27 different flavors. Truly Hard Seltzer Beverage Company, please drink responsibly. And another thing to note, so the Yankees are playing the A's tonight, and the A's have been very streaky, okay? 1-7 in their first 8 games, then 13-0, then 17-18, and now they're 12-2 in June, and that's the best record in baseball. And sometimes you have to look inside the numbers, so to speak. The A's have played a major league high 47 games against teams with losing records. They're 33-14 in those games. And a major league low 23 games against teams at 500 or better, and they're 10-13 in that stretch. So, yeah, they're having a great year, 43-27. That's their best mark over 500 at this point in the season since 1990. Yeah, after 70 games, and that team went on to play in a World Series. So we'll see how they play this weekend. Stadium's opened up, 100% capacity allowed. It's going to be wild. And for the first time ever, as I look down the field, the media is on the field. They're allowed to be on the field.
Wow. Now.
Still not in the clubhouse, but they're allowed to be on the field.
It's getting there. It's getting there. But then you see the Chris Paul thing, right? Dominic Ducharme, the head coach of the Montreal Canadiens, tested positive today for COVID. He's now out for the rest of the series.
Wow.
So it lingers, right? We just get these little reminders. We're getting less and less. But I know people are getting aggravated. You know, the Post has got that article with Susan Waldman saying that the broadcast should be on the road. I'm seeing tweets like, why are we still doing Zoom? You know, why if teams and everybody's vaccinated, and like Yankee Stadium, there's gonna be 100% capacity tonight.
Yep.
I think it's a fair comment for a member of the media to say, why can't I go in the dressing room after the game? Why do I have to be on Zoom when there's going to be 50,000, potentially 50,000 people at Yankee Stadium tonight? You know, so I get that there's a little frustration, but then you see times where, listen, it hasn't completely gone away, has it?
Can I ask you a question there, Michael?
Yeah, sure.
Do you definitively prefer going back on the road for road games, or after experiencing this, would you be happy enough to do all the games from the stadium?
Well, I'm glad you asked me this, because I was asked this on a podcast as well with Richard Deitch of The Athletic, and a lot of broadcasters are really complaining. And I got to tell you one thing, and this will not make me a favorite with my broadcasting brethren who are breathing fire about getting back on the road. Let me put it to you this way. Are the broadcasts better if you see the play developing in front of you rather than on a monitor? Of course. Is it exponentially better? Nonsense. It's a great narrative, so you can pick on the big media companies that have the audacity to want to actually recoup some of the losses they had last year. So I've always been very pragmatic when it comes to money. I'm pragmatic. I understand. This is a business. And whichever way you want to cut it, no matter how rich these companies are, they lost money last year. Now, Amazon didn't. Walmart didn't. I get it. But the regional sports networks in baseball lost money. And they're probably looking at it this way. If we don't travel our broadcasters and our producers and directors and everybody else involved, we're going to save a certain amount of money. Now, will it be noticeable to most fans when somebody's doing it off a monitor? And I will tell you this, looking right into the camera here, if you're watching on Yes, if you didn't know that I wasn't in Buffalo for the last 3 games, you wouldn't have known I wasn't in Buffalo. It's just a thing now. It's become a big thing, and the broadcasters are making it a big thing. Now, if I got word tomorrow, you know what? You got to go back on the road? Let's do it. That's the job. But I'm not going to sit here, and I'm not going to berate my company if they decide, you know what, we're not going to send them on the road because we want to recoup some of the money. I get it. It's a business. And I don't think there's that much of a difference when it comes to the broadcast. Yeah, it is difficult. It's more difficult calling a game off a monitor. It's not impossible, right, and it doesn't come across as terrible. Those that say it's terrible, they have an agenda, and they want to get back on the road. Sorry.
Listen, Mike, I went through the same thing with hockey, right? It's not the easiest thing in the world to do a game off the monitor, right? It stinks, and there's things that are lost. But I think what people have to realize is if it ends up being a financial thing for the time being, isn't that better than letting people go? Because how do you think they're recouping their money,
point.
Michael?
What a great point.
How are they doing it? All right, so you know what? If that means you got to be on the road, if that means next hockey season I got to do games off the monitor, yeah, it's going to stink. I'm going to miss going to Montreal and Columbus and Toronto and all my favorite places to go. But what do you think the alternative is? One less director, one less producer,
correct,
getting rid of pregame and postgame shows, people being out of a job. Do you want that? I don't.
Don, Peter, I will tell you this. I've not been told what the rest of the season holds, and I will just adapt to whatever it is. I respect the people who are above me in this company, but I will tell you this, and I will proudly say this. The Yes Network, once the pandemic started, never laid off one person, not one. So what Don is saying is really true. Would you rather people get laid off so, oh, I don't have to call a game off a monitor? Or would you let them recoup some of their losses and then let's reset for next year? Now, one person and big companies, national companies, laid off a lot of people. Yes didn't lay off one person, not one, because of money considerations. They just didn't. So you got to be pragmatic, people. Perfect world, the broadcast is better if you're there. But I will tell you this, without being patting myself on the back, I called a no-hitter from a monitor. And if you didn't know that I was not in Arlington, you would not have known. Sorry, but everybody's going to say, you know. There was somebody on Twitter, you know, the sound on the Yankee broadcast 2 games ago was unlistenable on Fios and DirecTV. And it was because of Fios and DirecTV, not because of Yes. And somebody on Twitter came out and said, yeah, that's because Yes won't send them on a road. They wouldn't have that problem. No, that wasn't it at all. It's the way those companies receive the signal that we send them. We sent the perfect signal. If you didn't have Fios and you didn't have DirecTV, the sound was crystal clear, clarity, nothing. Had nothing to do with where we were. So people, again, I'm sorry, they want to create a narrative. And I don't know, there are people that are hot to get back on the road. I've been on the road for 35 years. I'm cool being back on the road. I'm cool if they say, you know what, you got to sit in this booth for the rest of the year and do it. Because I get it. It's a business. It's a business. And I do truly contend, not that different. Here's the only thing you lose out on. You don't get a chance to go down and talk to them on the road. But they're Zooming anyway. And I've been around clubhouses half of my life. And the last 10 years, if I went down into that Yankee clubhouse, the players aren't even there. The media talks to the media. Don, you've been in rooms.
I know.
I mean, now being on the field, I think it's going to be a good thing. I'll go down on the field. I'll try to talk to people around the batting cage. That's the one thing that you miss. That's it. But calling the game, I'm sorry. I would debate anybody. And I know there are big people in our business that scream about, oh, it's really robbing the viewers of – stop it. Stop being
no,
so
it's
serious.
Robbing you. It's robbing you and your experience. Listen, my job would be a lot easier being there. It's better to call a game live. But I understand it. I get it, and it can be done. And I think everything eventually will go back to normal. And I do think it would be wrong if there are companies and teams that say, oh, we can save ourselves a ton of money, like beyond the pandemic, beyond what they've lost financially. I think that would be wrong, too. But right now, if there are radio and television stations who feel like this is just the best way for now to recoup what they lost and then get back to normal eventually, yeah, it can get done.
Did you think you'd get such a good answer, Peter?
No, that was very thorough.
It's really been on
my
mind.
But I also have to imagine
lot.
There's some upside, Michael, too. You're a father of young kids. I would just imagine there's some upside to just having to go to the stadium and not have to travel every week.
Peter, yeah, Michael. Of course. I mean, I get to see my kids every night. Yeah. But no, they also know that the house they're living in is because of this job, both of these jobs, and if I have to go on the road, I have to go on the road. Those are the rules of engagement.
Yeah, Michael would be in Toronto the last 3 days, and he got to be home with his family. You know, same thing with me. If I had a Saturday night game, say, in Raleigh, I'd have to leave after the show on Friday, which means I'm not home Friday, and I would get home in the wee hours of the morning, you know, on Sunday morning, like Saturday night. So it kills Friday night, kills day all day Saturday. And now, you know, I get to be with my family on Friday, leave Saturday, and then come home Saturday night at a reasonable time. It's great. I would rather be there, but like I said, I don't want to come at the expense of somebody losing their job.
Everything in life is a trade-off. Sorry, it is. Everything in life is a trade-off. I know it stinks, but everything in life is a trade-off. So I'm all for whatever my company decides. Sorry, I just am. The Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by GEICO. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing GEICO's been perfecting both for over 75 years. Now, it's time to take a look at this day in Yankee history, brought to you by Woodbridge by Robert Mondavi. Oh, you'll all remember this, even Peter. In 1977, on this date, in the bottom of the sixth inning of NBC's Game of the Week at Fenway Park, Yankee manager Billy Martin pulls Reggie Jackson out of the game after what he perceived to be the outfielder's lackadaisical effort in right field, which turns a fly ball into a cheap double for Jim Rice. In the dugout, Billy and the stunned Reggie begin screaming at one another and have to be separated by coaches Yogi Berra and Elston Howard. Don, when you think about what took place there, it's stunning.
Yeah.
I don't think it could happen in this world. A Twitter would break if that happened.
And the manager might get fired.
He came close that day. Right, day in Yankee history, brought to you by Woodbridge, a proud sponsor of the New York Yankees. Woodbridge by Robert Mondavi, making classic wine for over 40 years. All right, we still have more net tickets to give away for Game 7 tomorrow. Pretty big stuff. 1-800-919-3776. It's Kay, LeGreco, Rosenberg, and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN. The Michael K. Show.
I don't think I've ever had Count Chocolate. Chocula.
On 98.7 ESPN.
Vipers. You work with Vipers. Anthony acts like he's on my side. He's not.
You know what I'm going to do to balance it out, Michael?
What's that?
Anthony, play the commercial disaster of mine yesterday. We haven't heard
Andrew, who would you say is the best Brazilian available I could find in the Euros?
Brazil is a South American country, so they're not playing in the Euros.
Help?
That is such a seamless cut right through the jugular that Andrew did. Didn't raise his voice, didn't try to demean you, just said it as if he was talking to a child.
And that doesn't make you think that this should be an Andrew drop?
No, because you're the one who spearheaded it.
Well, hey there.
I don't know.
Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by GEICO. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing GEICO's been perfecting both for over 75 years. Very quickly, did you guys see yesterday the Tigers were playing the Angels and Ohtani was pitching? So Ohtani either hit Miguel Cabrera, threw one up near his head, didn't hit him. And then the next inning, Ohtani gets on first base, and he's leading off first. Miguel Cabrera's holding him off, and just he hit him right in what does Don call it? The beanbag.
Yes.
Just right on first base. He just slapped him right in the beanbag.
Clear kick to the beanbag.
Yeah. You know, we've worked together all these years. If you've never used that expression until last night.
Got to keep it fresh, Michael.
You do. I mean, do you sit in your lab and come up with stuff that might work?
No, these things pop into my head, and I thank God they're okay to use.
When do you leave for Hell in the Cell, Petey?
Tomorrow, 4:30.
Yeah.
I'm actually very excited about my travel situation.
And where is Hell in the Cell?
It is our last pay-per-view in Tampa before WWE's back on the road.
Okay.
But I'm excited because, tell me if you feel me on this, Don. I mean, both of you, I could have had this experience.
when you have a travel situation in which the way the weekend's set up, you can just completely leave casually with no wake-up time.
Oh.
Like, it's my nice. my car's coming at 2:30 tomorrow.
Like a gentleman.
Like a gentleman. Yeah, I might get to the airport and sip an adult beverage, pull out Michael's book. You know, well, I might do a meet and greet at the airport. I don't know. And then get this. When I get to Tampa, I shouldn't say where I'm staying. I'm staying somewhere very convenient. Let me just say that. So I'm just going to get there, go right to the bar, throw on the Nets game, enjoy the evening.
Yeah,
listen, I know exactly where you're staying. So what I'll do
Excuse
is
me?
I'm going to tweet out the number of that hotel, and everybody call Peter during the night tomorrow.
Well, listen, I'm not worried about people finding me at the hotel, but I can't reveal where people are staying. That would be irresponsible.
Right. Gotcha.
But you're right. Well, with this show, it's a lot of running around, barely catching the flight, all
correct.
That. To be able to just go on your terms, awesome.
It is. I mean, I know. Yeah, you're right, Don. Serious first world issues, but it is so nice on a weekend to not have to be sprinting off to do it and just take my time.
Well, speaking of hotels, the Milwaukee Bucks are staying in a hotel somewhere in New York City because they have to play a Game 7 tomorrow against the Brooklyn Nets. So this is the, you know, we wondered when the playoffs started, would the Nets ever face a game where the backs are against the wall? I thought they did that in Game 5 because, as Don said, if they lose Game 5, they're losing the series. So they won Game 5 in spectacular fashion, an unbelievable performance by Kevin Durant. Then they lose Game 6 in Milwaukee. So now they're actually facing elimination. I don't really think any of us thought they would ever face elimination in this postseason. But remember, we never thought that Kyrie Irving would be hurt. We never thought that James Harden would be hurt after 45 seconds.
Right.
So I don't know if the basketball gods have evened up competition, but this is not the team that Sean Marks dreamt up. This is not the team that we thought was going to steamroll its way to an NBA title. They've got a serious, serious problem tomorrow, and that is not a layup for them to win that game. Anybody who thinks that the Nets are sure to win, they're wrong. Now, do I think they'll win? Yeah, I do think they're going to win tomorrow. But if they lose, will I just be sitting there flabbergasted? No, I absolutely will not.
Yeah, we spent so much time talking about would this be a failure if they were to lose tomorrow or not win the championship. Well, let's reverse that question. How would it feel if they did under these conditions? Let's say Kyrie doesn't play again. Let's say Harden's never going to be 100%. That what you're getting from Harden is the best you're going to get. And it's going to be the Kyrie show tomorrow through Philadelphia or Atlanta and through the final. Then how much different do you look at that championship than if all three were healthy and they just cruise through it? Like, forget what the Net fan feels. They're going to be excited either way. But do you almost look like it almost legitimizes it, that they earned it a little more because they faced adversity we didn't think? Because let's face it, Michael, because we're having the conversation, would they even be tested? Would they face elimination? Would they lose? Like, maybe the only loss that they would have after the way that they played the first two games against the Bucks, we're thinking the only loss they might have had was it took Tatum 50 points in Game 3 against the Celtics to lose a game. Then it would be all the big three, something's wrong with the NBA, these super teams. But if they can win under these conditions, wouldn't it even be sweeter for a Net fan? Wouldn't it be sweeter for them? Maybe not Kyrie because he didn't play, but you know what I'm saying?
How do we look
at that championship, Peter, if they get it under these conditions?
I actually think it's an amazing opportunity, and I do feel for Kyrie, who is such a huge part of the team during the year, and he's not there. But I don't know, man. I'd be curious to hear from fans. If I was a fan, and you know what? I believe the proof is in the pudding, Don. I think we heard the proof in the energy that was in the building in Game 5. I think the fans want it more because of this. I think the Nets, in the course of a week, have become a more interesting and passionate topic of conversation on this show. I think there's just something inherently more exciting about this team when they're not just like, well, if you don't win, you're just a huge disappointment. Like, they have to earn this, like a real basketball team. They're fighting. Yeah. They're scrapping. We didn't expect to ever get that from them, Don. So I think they are. I think it is a much sweeter win if they can get it.
And never mind what it does to KD's brand if that happens.
Oh, my. Well, that's if KD wins Game 7, they go on and they beat Philadelphia or Atlanta and go and even just go to the final with just him. I think it's a huge, huge win for KD.
Anthony Greek, our producer on Yes, tells me that the game, according to William Hill and MGM now, is back at Pick'em. So, fluctuating wildly. I mean, going 1.5 points, then one. I mean, it's fluctuated 2.5 points all day. First, I was shocked that the Bucks started off as a favorite, then the Nets ascended to a favorite status, and now it's even. So
you know what?
Anthony, the wise guys think it's a pick 'em.
Anthony, you said something that I was already thinking. I want you to hit my music immediately.
Ooh.
Peter Rosenberg's Hardwood Pick of the Night.
I've been bad the last couple games, guys. I have. And I've been betting emotionally. And that's not good.
No.
And I'm betting emotionally again right now. However, it's not simply emotion. It's visualizing the future. When I visualize Saturday night, do I picture a sad Barclays Center as Giannis Antetokounmpo celebrates with Drew Holiday and Chris Middleton? Or do I picture a raucous Barclays Center as Harden steps up, gives us more than we expect, and the Nets pull away in the final couple of minutes to advance? I picture the latter. And if you can bet the Brooklyn Nets at home in a Game 7 at Pick'em, I'm sorry. Even with the injuries, I think this is a bet you have to take. I'm going the Nets. Pick'em -1. Either way, give me Brooklyn.
So this is rigid wood. This is
I have not really touched the hard wood in quite a long time. That's right, Michael.
Well, this is the rare porcelain pick.
Now, I'm driving home last night from the stadium, minding my business.
All right.
And I'm listening to what happens to be a really good show, Gordon Damer and Larry Hardesty.
Yeah, they know what they're doing.
They're really good. They're funny, and obviously they know their stuff. But Gordon does fall under the heading of out of his mind. I don't know if you realize that, Don.
Well, he's that guy, and I love him, and I've known him longer than anybody at the station. He's that guy.
Well, he revealed that he made a huge bet on the Nets to win the title at the beginning of the playoffs. So he's rooting for them, and he actually made that bet. So even if he lost the bet, he hates the Nets so much that if they lose, he would be happy and not sad he lost the bet.
That makes all the sense in the world. No, seriously, it does. It makes a lot of sense. It's what you're doing is you're trying to be even, right? He's emotionally attached to this series because he hates the Nets, right?
And now he has a bet.
And now he's got a bet. So if the Nets win, as disappointing it is, he cashes it. So it's like paying to have what you want happen.
So you think he would lose the money? You think he would choose to lose the money and have the Nets lose, or would he rather win the money and have the Nets win?
Knowing Gordon, I think he wants the Nets to lose.
Because he revealed that it's a $20,000 bet. That's a lot of money.
No.
By the way, I heard
I doubt that.
Yeah.
I doubt he bet $20,000.
He said that. A lot of Ks, 20K.
Wow.
Yeah.
Damer said that?
Gordon Damer, yeah.
$20,000.
He must know something about our bosses that we don't know about.
Aaron Judge has revealed to the media, I have no interest in the Home Run Derby unless the All-Star Game's back in New York.
Good man.
He's won already. If you win once.
Nah, it's silly. Not that the event's silly, but no, I think when you've got really important games coming up in the second half, you're not going to want to mess with it. But think about, I don't know about the figure. $20,000 is a lot of money. I know Gordon. He's got a family, and he's not throwing $20,000.
You know, somebody who has a gambling issue, though, Don, they don't care if the kids go hungry. So you don't know if he has a gambling issue.
But he doesn't have – I know him. He doesn't have any gambling issues, okay?
When was the last time you broke bread with him? You don't have a relationship with him like you have with Grasa. You don't.
I think we did maybe – it was before the kids, 4 years ago. We met at the Houlihan's on 17.
Oh, that's a good spot.
That might be a drop. Real quick.
But no, think about it, Peter. I go to BetMGM, right? There's something I want. I don't want the Yankees to win tonight. Right? Let's just say that. You're just there. Let's say you hate the Yankees. I want them to lose. Okay. So you throw money and be like, is it worth $50 for me to have them win?
And you say,
I get it. I get
so
the logic.
So if you won money, it would take away the sting of a team that you don't like winning.
Right, and if they win, then you win money. So either way, you're putting yourself in a good spot. Now, it's sick to be that motivated by what a team does, but you know a lot of people out there do.
And we also realize
it works reverse, right?
Gordon's a little damaged.
You're a diehard Yankee fan, right? You love the Yankees. Put some money on them to lose. And if they win, you're excited. They won the championship, but they lose. Guess what? I'm really disappointed, but I got some money.
What's the name of the vehicle, the Larry and Gordon vehicle? New York Tonight?
ESPN or? Tonight. What is it?
ESPN New York Tonight. It's worth
ESPN
a listen. Tune into it. After all the big games, they're on. They're on. It was fun. It was a fun listen, really.
I heard Rothenberg was attacking me again today.
Now, that's a person with a gambling
problem.
Do
you have any sound?
I don't know if there's sound, but I was getting tweets this morning during my show that he was attacking.
Andrew,
who would you say is the best Brazilian available I could find in the Euros?
Brazil is a South American country, so they're not playing in the Euros.
You know what I noticed yesterday? I was driving and thinking about it. It's not fair to put this on Anthony right now, but when Carlin heard that for the first time, and then when DiPietro heard it for the first time, Don, did you notice they had the same uproarious laugh?
Oh, just a genuine
laugh.
Guffaw.
Not like a fake radio laugh.
Not like when you get the comedian on the show and you got to laugh at everything they say. No, that was genuine hysterics.
I want to ask you guys a serious cultural question that just popped into my mind. Never thought about it till right now, and I think this is a real moral question.
Diversity in sports?
Michael, tell me about diversity in sports.
Well,
John Boy posted a video of a fan getting hit on the field at a Worcester Red Sox game, and the guy tries to run on the field, and security lays the dude out. It's a pretty bad hit, actually. And then actually the security guard's practically celebrating like it's a football game, and he hit the guy. Is it right that we have accepted as a society that if people get on the field, the only proper thing to do is hit them as hard as humanly possible?
No, I applaud it. It's called trespassing.
So I guess you answered the question. If someone does that, they go on the field, that crime is worthy of violence no matter the result.
Not violence. You're bringing them down. They have to be taught a lesson. I'm sorry. They shouldn't
be
on the field.
But that's two different – Tom, those are two different things, aren't they? Bringing them down and teaching a lesson?
Well, I mean, for time infinitum, if you're in somebody's house, they're allowed to kill you. They wouldn't get arrested. If you go onto somebody's property, they can kill you.
Okay,
it's not
of all,
a new thing.
I'm not, but what is this? I'm not basing it. This isn't Braveheart. I'm not basing it on those laws. This isn't the security guard's house. It's the baseball field in Worcester, and the drunk running on the field isn't going to kill anyone. He's just being a jerk.
Well,
Does he need to be laid out and potentially concussed?
I would vote yes.
Don, where are you?
I'm kind of in between because, again, what happens if he falls wrong, breaks his neck, paralyzed for life? is that fair? So anytime you lay somebody out, you're running the risk of some serious damage being done. So I understand it. We all know 100% all he's going to do is get knocked to the ground, be embarrassed, be sore the next day. Of course, that's the least that should happen to you. But that doesn't always work out that way, does it?
Did you see this one that I'm talking about?
I'm looking. Was it John Boy?
Yeah.
I'm looking. Where was it, a few days ago?
17 minutes ago.
Oh, I didn't. I want to see it.
You're looking, I do have the clip from DCR where Peter gets skewered. Here it is.
You know what we're not ready for? Peter. I mean, did you hear what Peter said yesterday, guys?
Of course we did.
Oh, can we please?
Of course
this
we
is
did.
Incredible. It's as if he. Well, I guess he really doesn't know what's happening. Here is the great Peter Rosenberg.
Andrew, who would you say is the best Brazilian available I could find in the Euros?
Brazil is a South American country, so they're not playing in the Euros.
How is that even possible?
Oh, my God.
How is it possible?
I mean, God almighty.
Who's the best Brazilian team available in the Euros?
I don't know whether Peter's question is better or Andrew's just brilliant, straight-laced answer happens to be better there. But both just phenomenal.
Well, at least Andrew gave him the bullet to the head, though, Dave. Like, there was no beating around the bush. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, but I can't. I give him a lot of credit. Because I would think that if that was me, that I would be like, what's the matter with you? Like, Brazil and the Euros? But Andrew just, you know, deadpan. He hammered him.
All right. A couple of things. The hit's not that bad. I fully endorse with your security.
You did see the guys, the way the guy's head hit the ground?
That's all right. That's his problem.
Okay, that's a
It was a clean
thing.
Hit. It was a clean hit.
Well, no,
now,
can
I add
game.
One more thing to get your second point, Don?
Yeah.
So, the fan that stabbed Monica Seles in the back, is that right. Cool? Wouldn't it have been better if he got concussed?
Cool?
No, wouldn't it have been better if he got concussed? We don't know what this guy in the field's going to do. We don't know if it's just a joyride. We don't know if he's just going to a player and he's going to stab him.
Well,
we have no idea.
If you see the video, the guy's on his way out of the stadium. I mean, he wasn't heading towards anybody. He was heading to the right field corner.
What is that, an exit sign over there? Is that the way to exit?
He wasn't.
No, but he's not towards a player. Like, I see if he's going full bore at a pitcher that's not looking.
But you know what? He can make a quick left-hand turn. Take out a right fielder.
But the other thing, listen, do your own stuff, all right? Leave our guys alone. We can make fun of Peter. You shouldn't be allowed to.
That's right. Thank you.
Now, if you come on our show like Chris and Rick did, that's a different story. But if we're trying to give you segments, no. Leave our guy alone.
You know what?
You want to make fun of each other, you do that. Don't start ripping, using audio from our show and ripping our guy.
You have some nerve. All we do is rip Dave Rothenberg. He has every right to rip Peter.
No,
he's right here. He's right.
You rip Dave Rothenberg.
Well, I'm one of the people on the show. I rip Dave Rothenberg.
But I don't remember, and you're wrong when you do that, by the way, but do we use audio from Dave?
I can't believe you're going to take this stand.
No, what stand? The stand of being a good teammate, defending my guy?
Well,
listen, we can make fun
program
of him. This
director,
is our little circle here.
Doesn't he always want us to have interplay between the shows? So they're completely ripping Peter, and he's supposed to be ripped. It was a low point in his broadcasting career, let's be honest.
Well, listen, we have trouble enough. We get create stuff for our show. We got to create stuff for everybody else's show.
Now, can I ask a question, though? Do people want – now, you guys are making fun of me just because it's an absurd thing that I said.
Yeah.
But I don't believe that you guys think that I thought Brazil is in Europe.
Oh, I absolutely think you didn't know.
But I've been to Brazil. I studied Portuguese for 4 years. Like, you're aware that I know that.
How do we know that?
But I think – does Dave – I think Dave sincerely thinks I don't even know where Brazil is.
I think Dave thinks you're adult.
And, God, you really – you know what? It really shows what Michael thinks of me. Because think about how down he's been on Dave.
Well, that's over now, just to get at you.
So Rick is God. Dave was trash. But I'm so below trash that it's elevated Dave. Wow.
Can I tell you one thing, Peter?
Sure.
Beautifully encapsulated. Anyway, 98.7 ESPN is giving away $1,000 a day over the next week. Be the first caller right now at 888-987-ESPN to score $250 cash. Again, that's 888-987-3776. Be listening every day through Wednesday in the 6 a.m., 7 a.m., 2 p.m., and 5 p.m. hours for more chances to cash in. It's all from your home for the hookup, 98.7 ESPN. Later on in this hour, another pair of tickets to tomorrow's big Game 7 in Brooklyn between the Nets and the Bucks. But now we want to give away money, $250. So be the first caller at that number. You're going to have money to spend over the weekend. Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Well, this portion of the Michael Kay Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by Truly Hard Seltzer. Try Truly Hard Seltzer, 100 calories, 1 gram sugar, 5% alcohol, and 27 different flavors. Truly Hard Seltzer Beverage Company, please drink responsibly. Am I right, Don?
Please, please. I think I found our bet for the football picks next year.
Okay, what do you think?
Somebody sent this to me. This is Lee Sanderlin, okay? I guess he's a journalist down in Mississippi. He tweeted out, "I'm coming to you live from Brandon, Mississippi Waffle House. I am a total loser. I came in last place in my fantasy football league. As punishment, I spent 24 hours in a Waffle House. Every waffle I eat shaves an hour off the clock. It's 4:07 Central Time." So,
that's
Peter, imagine the loser of our picks has to go to a restaurant. Can't leave for 24 hours, but and has to eat something they can't stand to shave hours off.
No, well, why does it have to be something you can't stand?
Did he say he can't stand French toast?
No, waffles. I mean, I don't know. You're not eating 24. If it's a Belgian waffle, you might eat four.
I'll tell you what, if the bet was IHOP, I would eat 24 pancakes and get out of there. I'd eat them in a second.
But that's pancakes are easy.
All right.
Why are they easy?
They're thin.
You ever have an IHOP pancake? It's gigantic.
Have I ever had an IHOP pancake? You know, you said a lot of things to me. How dare you? You couldn't do 24, no problem. They're easier than waffles.
The guy had 9 waffles. So he was there for 15 hours.
What are you paying off the bet, Sparky?
At the beach bash.
All right.
Now, but think about that. Like, Michael, you don't eat, do you eat shrimp?
No.
All right.
He doesn't know yet, though.
I don't like a crustacean.
But just imagine you'd have to go to, a diner. You have to sit at the diner for 24 hours. And the only way to shave any hours off is to eat something you don't like.
If it's out of the sea, it's not for me.
That could be a fun punishment. We could do the show remotely, and we can get to come and go as we please, and whoever loses, has to sit there. That could be fun. That could be a fun bet.
Yeah, let's try to get the bet this year before the bet starts.
Well, that's what I'm trying to do.
It's a little early now. Not even in July. Stop it. Congratulations to Sal Salerno. Love the name. He's from Staten Island, and now he's $250 richer. How about that? How about that?
How about that?
UT full.
All right, let's go to Akil in Albany. Akil.
How you doing, guys?
Great, you?
Great. I just wanted to chime in on the conversation about running onto the field. Usually I tend to agree with Peter on things on the show, and Don, you're just... just a debonair beast, man. I loved him on the show.
Wait,
man.
Did you say debonair right. Beef?
Beast.
Yes,
beast.
I did.
Oh, beast. Okay. All right.
But, Michael, on this topic, I have to agree 100% with you. I used to work for the New York Mets, and there's nothing more important than protecting the players' family, the staff that work there. And these are not just multi-million-dollar assets to a team. That literally any injury to them can really send the whole team down a downward spiral for the rest of the season. I mean, executives, their jobs are on the line. What if somebody were to come out and have a beef with a call an umpire made? These umpires aren't in the best shape, of anybody on the field. They might not be able to evade a person like that. Or the first base coach or the third base coach. You never know. And when you bring somebody onto the field, I will take them out in a second. And whatever the police do afterwards, that's on them.
And I don't have any doubt that nobody would ever argue with you. If somebody was charging after Aaron Judge or charging after Gerrit Cole, take them down. But if you watch the video on John Boy Media, the guy's running into the left field corner. Unless the left fielder is cowering in the corner, they've got him cornered. They just knocked him down for kicks.
Thank you, Don. That's all I'm saying. I 100% agree with the caller. If a player is in danger, and in theory I understand, they're always in danger if there's a stranger on the field. I get it. But if you're being realistic, like in a spot like this where it's clear the guy's not going to harm anyone, and you're just trying to lay in as big a hit as possible, listen, do what you want. You're legally going to be fine. I morally question it.
Wow, morally question it. When somebody's doing something illegal, you morally question punishing them.
Of course.
But what gives you the right is security.
That's your job. Keep them off the field.
No, they'll keep them off the field, but we're talking about a maximum sentence. If you hit a guy and he falls down wrong, breaks his neck, are they going to be like, oh, well, that's what you get for running on the field? He's going to be paralyzed for the rest of his life?
Listen, when you breach the perimeter, you must be punished.
See, Michael's
you
not
cannot
being
breach
wholly
the
serious.
Perimeter. No, I'm totally serious. I truly believe that fans, the reason that fans run on the field, right? They think it's all a gag, and they end up spending the night in jail, right. Maybe even longer. But everybody else who watch, that's why we don't show fans running on the field on TV. Everybody else in the stadium, they see them being let off nicely, and they don't know about the jail. Well, they have no
wait,
idea
what are you
about
talking
that.
About? But, I've seen these people get laid out my whole life.
Yeah, there's been a lot
okay,
of physical.
Okay, but when you see people laid out, I guarantee you, nobody came out of the stands after that.
But they do.
But they seem to. And again, if you knock the guy over and he jumps back up or whatever, but I don't want to be Captain Literal Man here, but you could just – why not just have – hey, if anybody goes on the field, it's a year prison sentence or a $10,000 fine. Your choice.
How'd you feel about what Mike Curtis did?
I mean, listen, was Mike Curtis in danger? Did they care about the ball that much? Was it cool to see? Yeah, was it cool to see a guy get laid out? But was anybody in danger? You're talking about players with shoulder pads and helmets on. The guy wanted to steal the football, and Mike Curtis thought it'd be fun to just lay the guy out. And it was fun, and it's gone viral. It's been up there for 50 years. Everybody loves it. But if he ended up – if that guy became paralyzed, is that fair? Are you going to sit there and tell his family when he's breathing through tubes and being fed through tubes for the rest of his life, well, that's what you get for going on the field and trying to steal the ball? Does that
Sue
seem
me.
Equitable? Is that
by the
even?
Way, the Curtis hit isn't great. I mean – I'm not impressed by it.
But if you really but Michael, it's not as thrilling and it's not as fun to watch. But if they just came out with an edict, 1 year jail sentence or $10,000 fine, wouldn't that do the same thing?
No, it would do better. It would
well,
do much, much
guy,
better.
How about the guy who jumped in Kansas City? Jumped his son, the father and son jumped over the wall and tackled Tom Gamboa.
Oh, Michael, like I said, if a player is in danger, do what you got to do to stop him. You don't know if he's got a knife like the Monica Seles thing, pulls out a gun. Absolutely. Nobody would ever criticize that. But the price you pay for somebody trying like to steal the ball on the field, or watch the video, this guy is on his way to the left field corner. There's nobody there.
You keep saying that, but who knows if he makes a right-hand strike? He's on the field. You're going to wait till he runs at a player and then it's too late? Bring him down,
okay, but that's not where this started was me saying sometimes these dudes are looking to just literally inflict punishment, and
oh,
I don't
you saw
know that that's
Peter,
what do it.
You were so right. Watch the guy's reaction after he hit him.
He celebrates it. I just watched one. I'm watching a highlight reel of them now, and there's some you see where the security guard just simply wraps them up and pulls them down. I have no issue with that. But when you're like, I didn't make it as a football player, here's my opportunity to kill someone, I'm just saying I don't think it befits – the punishment doesn't befit the crime.
I'm a law and order candidate. So do you think that on a Friday before the big fella that we go to Omar in Brooklyn, or is that too much?
There's never too much Omar.
No, he I mean, we got to get to it. He doesn't have a 10-minute ramp up, but let's
all right, Omar, get to it right away. Get the car warmed up. Let's roll.
Good afternoon, guys. Hello, hello. The weekend has started already. Three huge games coming. What a huge weekend. And last week was humongous for me when the Milwaukee 1-2. And I said to you, Kevin Durant does not have it game 5. He has to do it again in game 7. James Harden can give him the help if he has to. What I think, I'm feeling good. As Gordon Damer will say, I will lose money for Brooklyn to lose. Right? So here it is. All year long, I said, okay, they may be the most talented team ever. Don't give me injury excuse. I told you they are injury-prone players. Indeed, bound to happen. They have played 7 games in a regular season for a reason. That's what it was. They didn't work hard enough. Mentally, physically, they were not good enough to be ready for a championship campaign. Have a good summer, Brooklyn Nets. Tomorrow, you lose in front of your home crowd and all this NBA media talking about the best team. Oh, the championship should be given to them right here. Kevin Durant will be there, but he will not be good enough to beat Milwaukee Bucks. I told you, Milwaukee will win this series. Kevin Durant can have a huge game, but Milwaukee Bucks is winning tomorrow. Game 7, write it down. Put money everywhere. Milwaukee, Milwaukee. Philadelphia. I don't know why, because of Doc Rivers, that he has done so many choke things that I am starting to feel for this, that he doesn't happen with Philadelphia, with Doc Rivers again. I'm hoping that they don't choke this. They are far superior team than Atlanta Hawks. And if they choke, I'm sorry, Doc Rivers has to go on and Philadelphia has to erupt. Ben Simmons, no trade value. Tobias Harris, no trade value. Ben Embiid is an injury-prone player. Philadelphia, number one seed. You can take it to the town. If you win, doesn't win tonight, bye-bye, like New York Knicks are bye-bye. And don't tell me the injury for LeBron James. You are sitting home in first round. Now everybody is playing and nobody is talking about you. So you have to come 2 or 3 days ago. Oh, I told you so. Do you? I told you. You are old and you are not relevant at this time because every other star is relevant. That's why you have to talk in the Twitter that I told you so. Listen, you have 3 months break before the season when you went to the bubble. You already had your off season. And the other team was not playing for 9-10 months. I don't have a problem with NBA having KBA such a great season, such an entertainment season, and you have right now cannot tell who is going to win the championship at this particular end. That's what sports is all about. That's what entertainment is all about. Let's go, Milwaukee Bucks. That's it.
Wow.
Put money everywhere.
I feel like taking a shower.
He really
have
went.
Have a good summer, Brooklyn Nets.
Well, listen, I've heard of take it to the house. I never heard of take it to the town.
Also, Kyrie Irving sprained his ankle because he didn't play enough in the regular season. I mean, people have to relax.
Well, I think he was saying that's not true, no?
No, he's saying that that's why they're hurt. Now, you could say James Harden. Well, James Harden was hurt in the regular season, too. But, you know, that's Omar. When Omar calls, it's like, see, I lived in an apartment in the Bronx growing up. You turn on the lights and the roaches scatter all over the place. That's what that Omar call felt like. And you just felt like you could just step on it, though. Speaking of the Nets, Net fans, be the first caller right now, 1-888-987-ESPN. And you, my friend, will win a pair of tickets to see the Brooklyn Nets against the Milwaukee Bucks. Game 7 tomorrow night. Tickets will be in the vaccinated section of Barclays Center. It's all brought to you by the Yes Network, our good friends at the Yes Network at 98.7 ESPN. The Nets are back at Barclays Center on Saturday night as the 2021 NBA playoffs return to Brooklyn. The Eastern Conference semifinals continue as the Nets take on the Milwaukee Bucks in Game 7. Tickets are on sale now. Visit BrooklynNets.com to secure your seats for Game 7 this Saturday at Barclays Center. Enjoy, my friends. Summer Fridays with the Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN are brought to you by New Mike's Hard Lemonade Seltzer. 100 calories, 1 gram of sugar, and gluten-free. When we come back, it's always fun to visit with the big fella, Chris Carlin, in a moment, right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoons starting at 2 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.